Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner, the podcast where we delve into the latest news through a conservative lens. In each episode, Little Joe sifts through the top headlines and news articles, offering insightful commentary and analysis from a right-leaning perspective. Whether it's politics, culture, or current events, this show explores the issues that matter most to conservative listeners.
Get ready
to cut through the noise and get to the heart of what's really going on in the world today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
A pro-lifer looks at a position like a woman ought to have bodily autonomy, and they say that's completely missing the point. We're not talking about the woman's bodily autonomy, we're talking about the baby's bodily autonomy, which is obviously not only the pro-life position, but the position of many mainstream religions, including the Catholic Church. And so when you look at, you know, pro-lifers who say, okay, well, I understand that you believe it's a tragedy, but on along those same baseline biological lines, it's not just a tragedy, it's a crime against the child, because the child has an independent interest. What do you say to that?
I say that I understand that position, and I don't agree with it. I think that that the solution of having the state come in and dictate choices that, you know, that the woman is making is not that's not a good solution to me. That I have a bureaucrat making these very, very difficult moral choices. I think that choice should be between the woman, her pastor, her spiritual advisors, the people who she consults in her life, and that it's a very, very difficult decision.
So you don't believe that the child has an independent right to life, for example, at any point during the pregnancy? I mean, how far is
the right? Here's what I would say, man. There's no woman who gets pregnant, carries that baby for 8 months, and then decides to have an abortion for some frivolous reason. In that kind of case, and nobody in their right mind would do that. In those kind of cases, there's some kind of those very, very rare cases where that happens. There's always some kind of extenuating circumstances that I don't feel prepared to turn that over to the government. So that, you know, you and I all differ on that. And that's just a bad place where I differ. And I understand your position. I have tremendous respect for you for having that kind of that absolute moral clarity on that position. But I think it's more nuanced and complex than that.
All right, welcome back on this Tuesday. RFK Jr. Yeah, what I don't like about RFK Jr., to be honest with you, number one is obviously that he's a liberal. And so that doesn't work for me because me and him don't share the same philosophy. But also, what I don't like about him is that him being in the presidential race, he's going to cipher votes, not only from Trump, but he's going to cipher them from Biden as well, because he may not be as radical in some positions as Biden, or maybe he's selling a better package than Biden, so he'll cipher some from there as well. I think he's a danger to both. I think he's more of a danger to Trump because you got a lot of these libertarians that lean in his direction for some reason. As far as abortions go, I mean, if you're a pro-lifer, he just said, undoubtedly, you listen to what he refused to come out against late-term abortion. He just said that that would be between you, your spiritual advisor, and probably your medical care physician, and he leaves that up to you. If you're a libertarian, I'm sure that my opinion on abortions and yours are much different. But I would say that on one thing that we would both agree on is that after a certain point, no matter what, you know, that you are murdering a child. You do an abortion at the 8th month. How many babies are born in the 6th and 7th month? They are outside the womb. They may be in medical care for a period of time, but go home and they live full lives. These are human beings. These are babies. At 8 months, it's no longer an abortion. This isn't the debate on when life begins, when the baby feels pain, when it's a clump of cells versus a person. This is a debate on humanity, really? I mean, do you think it's okay at the 8th month when a baby could be born, no problem, and live outside the womb, no problem? You think it's okay to have somebody go in there and cut it all up? You think that baby doesn't feel pain? At that time, you think that baby's not going to scream in pain just like a 9-month-old that's just freshly born would do when you give him a little slap on the butt? I would say that we all agree on that. You'd have to be a monster, in my opinion. You have to be a sick, twisted, and demented human being that should be aborted at your age if you think that that's an abortion. Yeah, I think you should be aborted, to be honest with you. I think you're a monster of a person if you think that that's okay. I know that there's heavy debate prior to that. I know there's debate on situation, everything's situational. You know, when I argue with people about abortion, the very first thing that everybody always goes to, what about rape and incest? That's always the first thing, as if 100% of abortions are always come down to that. Abortions, yeah, at 99% of the time are by choice because people are doing things they shouldn't be doing and they're being irresponsible and they want to rid themselves of the responsibility of the price that they're supposed to pay for being irresponsible. If that made sense. But that's the number one argument I always get. What about rape and incest? I can tell you that most states, even the state of Florida, that put abortion bans in at the 6th week, they make an exception for rape and incest. And I think most states do. So that eliminates that argument that if it is a rape case, provable rape case, it is provable incest, then they give you an out. But if you're a libertarian, you can't possibly support 8 months. If you support 8 months, you're not a libertarian. You're an extremist. You're killing a human being. You're taking a life. RFK Jr. is a dangerous person. He knows what he's doing. He knows the game that he's playing. He knows Biden is weak. He's counting on it. He knows people don't generally like Trump. He thinks he stands a real shot at this. What he does stand a shot at is siphoning enough away from both sides that it's going to make this election much more difficult for either side to win. That's what he is going to do. It's just which side is he going to siphon more from? Unfortunately, our side is never rock solid. See, when the Democrats unite, they unite. But our side, because you have conservatives and libertarians, and we're all over the place, we'll be the ones to break ranks and vote against Trump instead of saying, no, regardless of whether I like this guy or not, just like Democrats do. Regardless of whether I like this guy or not or how I feel about this guy or not, we're all in on Trump because we can't do another 4 years of these Democratic policies. We can't do it. It's destroying the country. So no matter what, even if I hate the guy, even if I don't like a thing that he says or a tweet that he sends out, I'm voting for him one way or the other. Well, we don't do that for some reason. I hope one day our side figures out that's the reason that they win the majority of the time. I saw a tweet and I don't even know who it was from. I was scrolling through and whoever it was from, if this is from you, then you know it's from you. But I saw a tweet that says, you know, the thing about Democrats are that they know how to use power. And the only time that you see a Democrat that steps down because they don't step down, they are being forced out because the machine says so, because they never relinquish power. And on the other side of that coin, Republicans are afraid to use the power granted to you because you don't want to be seen as abusing that power. The problem is you're not playing the same game as the other side, which is why we struggle to win all the time. And look, and as far as power goes, you know, I believe that there's no true power in this world other than Jesus Christ, other than God Almighty. I don't believe there's any power in this world. I believe there is a perception of power. Okay. However, with that being said, you have to excuse me. I picked up a little cold somewhere and my chest is aggravated. But with that being said, as far as power goes, Republicans, you are granted a certain amount of power when you are elected into your position. We are giving it to you by electing you. We understand that you're going to make these decisions. As long as it's in line with what we want it to be, then obviously we're okay with it if we vote for it. And you guys should play the game the same way it's being played on the other side. The other side abuses power. I'm not telling you to abuse power. You guys don't even want to use the power that is given to you by us temporarily to get something done. You don't even want to do that. which is why we struggle again to win. In the election, there's just been some numbers that have been coming out by interactive polls, and I'm going to give you some of the numbers that I was looking at here. Hold on, I'm pulling up a graph here for a second. Okay. if you had to choose, this is the question. If you had to choose, would you vote for Donald Trump or Joe Biden? First choice and leaners. Okay, so 47% to 44% Trump, then 9% for they don't know or they're not sure. If you indicate leaners, it's 52 to 48%. So Biden is a plus 4. If you just go by without the leaners, Biden is a plus 5. Just over half of the voters say that they approve of the job Donald Trump did as president. Said, do you approve or disapprove of the job that Donald Trump did as president? 37% say that they strongly approve. 19% say they somewhat approve. 10% say they somewhat disapprove. And 33% said that they strongly disapprove. And then you had a small 2% that said they were not sure. Trump's lead increases slightly in a five-way race with Stein and West. If Donald Trump, you got all five here now. You got Donald Trump, you got Biden, you got Jill Stein, you got Cornel West, Robert F. Kennedy. In that predicament, Trump's at a strong 44%. Biden is at a 37%. Kennedy Jr. is at 10%. I don't know, not sure, is at 6%. Jill and Cornel West are tied both at 2%. Trump holds a commanding 7-point lead. And that's actually up. In March, it was only at 5. He's actually pulled away some there. And it said, if you had to choose who you'd vote for between Donald Trump, Joe Biden, RFK Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein, but these are the leaners, Trump's at a plus 6. Trump's at 46, Biden's at 39, RFK's at 12, and then it breaks down from there. He's leading everywhere. I mean, as he should be. I mean, we're talking about the witless wonder here that we're going up against. He's leading everywhere in every poll. That does not mean that we are going to win at all. Far from it. It's just that we are in a strong position, and if we continue to exploit Joe Biden, if the Republicans do what they're supposed to do, if they run a successful campaign and the Republican Party jumps on board and the Republican National Committee and you highlight everything that Joe Biden has done wrong, we should be able to win. I'm not going to say it's a slam dunk. You know, the Democrats are going to do what they do. They're going to try to harvest. They're going to try to do everything they can to get as many votes as they can. They're going to try to win at all costs. Believe me, they don't want to lose this election, just like we don't want to lose it. You have to come in so strong. We have to come in such volumes and such numbers as there will be no question. There is no closeness. It is just a clear cut and dry. It's Trump. It's Trump. It's Trump in every state. Yeah, you can't have anything close. I mean, we got to come out in volumes and we got to smash them over the head. And that's just to win. I'm not telling you that we're going to whip them. That's not even what I'm saying. You're going to have to come out in those numbers just to pull off the win because you already know the game that's being played. Yeah, we have a commanding lead right now. Any poll that you go to, Donald Trump's in a lead, and it can be as low as 3% and it can be as high as some of the less credible pollsters. You know, you're up to 14, 15% and some of the real crazy ones. But anywhere we're at, we are winning, but we were winning last time also. Just keep that in mind. COVID was around last time. Well, you got climate emergencies that may be around this time. And you don't know what's going to happen. We're still 6 months out. We got a little while to go here until Election Day. A lot changes in 6 months. Imagine what can happen in 6 months. All right. You got to go out and vote like the United States depends on it because it absolutely does. I watched a video and Wall Street Silver was the one that posted it. And this is on San Francisco's downtown Union Square. And I don't know if it's him or if he found the video or it's a TikToker that he found. Pretty much every store in San Francisco downtown Union Square is closed. He shows before and after and how busy it used to be. prior to COVID, prior to bad policies by Gavin Newsom and allowing all the theft and everything, and all these stores have moved out because people are afraid to shop there. They can't keep their, they're losing money in the retail stores because they can't keep the items on the shelf because people can just walk in there and take whatever they want and the police aren't going to do anything about it. Pretty sad to see. But I would like to point out that Gavin Newsom wants to bring this to a city near you. This is what Democrat cities are like. It's not just San Francisco. That's just probably the one being highlighted today. It's every big city. New York is struggling. Chicago's struggling. Philadelphia is struggling. All your biggest cities, all in blue states run by blue people, are having these problems. This is the America that Democrats are going to be bringing to you if we don't win in 2024. And if you lose local elections, even worse. You're going to see this even faster. Federally, we're already getting beat up. But at least if you live in a state that's a red state that they have, that there is sanity in, you're probably not feeling it the same way the blue states are feeling it. And that would be my guess. I mean, I know in Florida here, we don't feel it the same way that other states feel it. And I would assume it's probably similar for any of the other solid red states that you're not feeling the pain locally as badly as these other blue-run states are. But we're still feeling the pain federally. No matter what, the energy, the gas, everything else that the federal government does have control over, we are feeling the pain. And this is what is working its way in our direction if we do not win in November.
And that wraps up another episode of Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
Thank you for tuning in and joining the conversation.
Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on all our latest episodes. And join us next time as we continue to explore the issues that shape our world. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.